31 Sports.
Across 2 weeks of action,
the University of Nottingham versus Nottingham Trent in the 13th year of the Nottingham Varsity Series.
And the battle lines are drawn.
Can Lazarus save? He can!
What is in! Fantastic!
Hubbard puts up a three-point shot and he nails it.
We have officially won the American Football Varsity for the first time.
The University of Nottingham have won Varsity Futsal and they have won Varsity 2016.
All 33,000 students at the University of Nottingham, they know what this means.
Can the green and gold retain the series for a sixth year in a row?
From the 25th to the 30th of March and the 7th to the 14th of May, follow all the action right here on University Radio Nottingham.
This is Varsity 2017.
This is URN.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to From the Gantry here on University Radio Nottingham, the show that will bring you all that you need to know about the Nottingham Varsity Series 2017. My name is Joe Tanner. I'm joined in the studio today by Chris Young, Jeremy Dunn and Tom Elliman. Now, of course, it was a massive weekend for the Green and Gold, which saw them retain the Varsity Series for a sixth year in a row. That came with a victory in Women's Rugby Union, as well as two defeats in American Football and in the Men's Rugby Union on Sunday as well. But we're going to start the show by just listening to some post-match interviews and reaction from that Women's Rugby Union match, where the Green and Gold ran out 21-7 winners. Okay, I'm joined here by Ife and Dom, the captain and vice-captain of the University of Nottingham Women's Rugby Club. Guys, many congratulations. A fantastic 21-7 victory. How are you guys both feeling right now?
A bit sick, but
a bit tired. No, absolutely ecstatic. Like, it was the kind of cherry on the top of a fantastic season. We all wanted it so badly, and it's all come together, so over the moon, yeah.
Some fantastic performers out there on the pitch for the University of Nottingham. Siobhan Foden in particular, I thought, had a fantastic game.
She is on fire. She's absolutely incredible. And like, she didn't have much confidence coming into this season, so it was really good to see her just absolutely come into her own and fantastic today.
And of course, finishing second in the Bucks League, of course, over the course of the season, you must have seen the players as a whole group come on a lot during the course of the campaign.
Yeah, I mean, our last game was our cup final in Bath against Birmingham, and you know, it was just everything came together. Unfortunately, we didn't win, but we've got to set it right today, and everyone's progressed and gelled so well as a team this year, couldn't ask for any more.
Now, you've won Varsity not just for yourself but for the University of Nottingham as well, making the series 12-8 overall. What are you guys gonna do to celebrate?
Do you want an honest answer to that question? And I will be hitting back in a bit, and yeah, it's gonna be a good night.
Awesome, very well done. Many congratulations on the victory today. Okay, I'm joined here by Trev Goddard, the head coach of the University of Nottingham Women's Rugby Club. Many congratulations today on the victory, Trev. How have you seen this group of players progress over the course of the season? Of course, fantastic finish in Bucks Midlands 1A, second in the league, and as well getting to the final in Bath. You must be very, very proud of the players.
Oh, yeah, every year these girls, they just turn it on. It's not just about the girls that are on the pitch today. This is a whole club. It's a whole club game. Well, the girls that was on the pitch today were representing 50, 60 girls that are in this club, and there's obviously there's a twos varsity next week as well, and we're looking to do the same on Trent then. We're really proud of the girls, what they've done. They've worked really hard all season, and also you want to thank Paul Walsh, director of rugby at Nottingham, for his input during the season as well with these girls.
Now, just on today's match, who out of the players on the pitch really stood out for you as key performers in that win against Trent?
They're all played out of the skins today. For me, I think Amy Gold, who's just come up from the twos, has made an impact, got her first place in the first team. Some huge carries today, some really good carries, set us on the platform, but basically it's just a whole team performance today, so really good.
Fantastic, massive team effort. And how have you kind of seen the club as a whole, not just the first team playing today, how have you kind of seen the whole club gel over the course of the season?
Oh, the girls, it's just natural to them. They have all the socials and everything with the committee, and they all turn up for training. Now, we've got 30 or 40 girls turning up for training nearly every week, so we have to have all the resource from the university, and I thank them for that. We've got a good coaching structure, backed up by, I said, Paul Walsh, the directors, and the other first team coaches. These girls just gel. It's just one thing. It's a family, and it's probably one of the best societies on the campus. So, really happy with them.
Excellent stuff, Trevor. Thank you very much for joining us.
No worries.
Yes, Trev Goddard there, the head coach of the University of Nottingham Women's Rugby Club, speaking after that 21-7 victory down at the Lady Bay Stadium. Tom, you were down there with me on Sunday. He spoke a lot in that interview about the kind of togetherness and the unity of the squad in grinding out that result. Do you think that was kind of key to their victory?
Yeah, definitely. I think they took a couple of setbacks, and there was, they nearly sort of levelled up the scores, Trent, nearly at 14-14 all, but the luckily their player who scored the interception, scored the try, was ruled offside, and they were a little bit shaky at the start. But if there's one thing that women's rugby has proved this year, is that they are a real squad, and it is always a real team effort. You know, they got to the final of the Bucks Trophy, and they had a really, really tough game against Birmingham. They just lost 7-0, but it was a really close game, and they might feel unlucky to lose that. But, you know, I mean, it shows the character they do have in the squad to be able to bounce back and put in what was, you know, one of their best performances of the season in a varsity match, and a crucial one at that.
Unity, of course, was obviously key to that victory down at Lady Bay on Sunday. But any particular individuals that really, really stood out for you? Of course, Siobhan Foden, the centre, was mentioned in that interview, and of course, captain Ife Fahili really did stand out for the green and gold.
Yeah, so obviously I'm slightly biased here and give a big shout out to my housemate Ellie Harris, who actually got in the back of the match award. And yeah, you've already mentioned Aoife and Siobhan, who got player of the match and the forward of the match respectively. And yeah, it was two huge performances from those two. And I mean, the whole team pulled together well. But yeah, if there were some players to stand out, then yeah, Siobhan and Aoife certainly played really well.
And caps off obviously such a fantastic season with them finishing second in the Bucks League, and of course only losing out to Birmingham in that Bucks Trophy final.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, Birmingham are a really strong side, and to get as far as they did, they came up against some tough sides and a couple of farming colleges, and they had some big teams to overcome, and they all pulled together, and they ground out some results when they needed to, and they played what we saw on Sunday was a really good attacking style of rugby, and yeah, they took it by the scruff of the neck and saw out a great result and won the series for us.
And of course, yes, won the series with the score at that point 12-8 in favour of the green and gold. Jeremy, how crucial and how much do you think it means to those girls on Sunday to win the series and retain it, not just for their own sport and women's rugby union, but for the university as a whole?
It means a huge thing for them, I'm sure, a great deal, because we had this sort of whole debacle of it was kind of, we were on the cusp of winning, we retained the series, hadn't we, for so many days, and it was kind of, well, who's going to actually get that magic point to win it? Obviously cricket couldn't, because theirs was then rained off, then we didn't, sadly, were able to in the American football, and then came on to the rugby, and we were saying that we thought that the women's would be then at that point, looking at it, the team that could take that point over the line, and they did successfully, and it's fantastic for them, fantastic for rugby union in general at the University of Nottingham, great for them, but more importantly, it's great for women's sports. It's something which, you know, has been a bit of disparity during this varsity in terms of attendance for it, in the fact that, you know, the attendance hasn't been quite as high for the men's games. Sorry, it hasn't quite been as high for the women's games as it had been for the men's games. But the fact that it's then a women's team which then takes that final point and finally pushes the University of Nottingham over the line and wins as that varsity, it's huge for women's sport here, just in general.
Absolutely, a massive, massive match in terms of winning the series outright for the University of Nottingham due to previous uncertainty just based on retaining the series at that point. But Chris, for the women's rugby team, fantastic season as we mentioned in Bucks, but on the basis of last year's result as well, a 2010 victory in the same location, building on the success of, you know, not just Bucks but their varsity history as well.
No, I think so. I think it's really interesting how you compare what's happened in varsity with the rest of the season. Obviously, they've had a brilliant season, coming second, you know, nearly winning the trophy as well. But no, varsity kind of just changes all that. It's a completely new mindset, it's a completely new game, because suddenly you kind of feel yourself like more people are watching you. Maybe not in the crowds, but the university kind of is on your back a bit more, because varsity encompasses all of us because we are going against our big rivals. But of course, no, it was a pretty nervy start, as Tom did say, but I think the girls got into the game a bit more, because on paper they were favourites, and I think it took them a while to kind of remember that or realise that, and then after that they went on to win quite convincingly. I think my own criticism it could be a bit controversial, is how we only won varsity on the final Sunday, because we had already retained varsity, I think, ages before that. I think it was on the Super Wednesday we'd actually confirmed that we were going to retain the title. But then from then on, we had the two football matches, we had the American football, we had the cricket, which on paper we probably would have lost to Trent, and then the two rugby games on the Sunday. if anything, it's a bit worrying, I have to admit, that it took the final Sunday, given the sports we were meant to win as well, to actually win varsity. That's just something I thought anyway.
It's an interesting theme you pick up on there, Chris, the fact of a resonating factor throughout the varsity series, which is the fact that the University of Nottingham seemed very capable of winning the so-called lesser profile events and dominating at the Super Wednesdays, but yet when it comes down to the big arena style event, of course, Meadow Lane haven't won there for the men's team in 6 years. The cricket as well, not always a happy place to go down at Clifton campus for the University of Nottingham Men's Cricket Club. Jeremy, do you think it's kind of almost a curse that it's become in recent years for the Green and Gold?
Yeah, well, we touched on it on the last show that there is some disparage and some annoyance from Trent fans, especially the fact that they feel that in a way, when you look at all the big events, they're winning these big events quite comfortably. It's only on the ones going on the peripheries, so to speak, from everyone's attention, that we are actually picking up those points, and then it's culminating in our ultimate victory. And it's really frustrating and annoying that, because in varsity you want to win, you want to beat your rival, and you want to sort of not rub it in your face but kind of have the bragging rights quite comfortably. But the thing is, if they're winning all the showpiece events, the ice hockey, okay, yeah, we did win the women's basketball, which was congratulations to their team. They played brilliantly and they have done all season. But the men's basketball, the men's football, which they've come under, and also the women's football, the men's more, they've come under quite a bit of criticism for that. And you know, these big showcase events we then aren't able to win at is really frustrating. I mean, rugby union is one of the biggest sports really in the UK, and it's one which would be getting attention. I think the fact that it was the women's rugby union team that won that, I mean, the men's got a bit of a mauling to be fair by the sounds of it, but the women's team that win that, that's a bit more pride restored there. So it's a varsity that we've won, but it's sort of one which you kind of, you know, tongue in cheek of winning in that regard.
The brilliant women's victory 21-7 against our Trent counterparts was quickly followed by, nonetheless, as Jeremy said, a bit of a mauling against Nottingham Trent. Of course, we were actually 10-0 up at the start of the game through tries from Ben Latimer and George Felgate, but then nonetheless Trent came back in earnest in the second half and eventually won the game 34-13, which was a testament, of course, to where both teams are in the Bucks leagues. Of course, Trent winning the same league by a 14-point margin, which is a brilliant testament to how well they've done this season, and the University of Nottingham finished in fifth. But nonetheless, Tom, when you were down there at Lady Bay on Sunday, do you think it was an element of Trent's class, or do you think the University of Nottingham kind of fell to pieces a little bit in the second half?
Probably a combination of the two. I think the one thing that we noticed when the team's warming up is the size of some of the Trent pack, 1-8, was far superior to that. And I mean, you know, the uni of lads aren't small boys at all, but the Trent lads are absolutely were packing some serious weight. And it was a game that was played, as rugby so often is, right down the middle of the park, and they were making so many metres that every time that Nottingham gave them a chance to come back at them, then within, you know, five or six phases they'd eat up 20, 25 metres, and the pressure was always on the boys from UON from the start, to be honest. I think a couple of early tries, and it showed sort of the handling really and the flair that UON have played with all season, and you know, a great offload from, I think it was Paul Aguele in the corner inside to Latimer. And it was really bouncing, and Trent were definitely shook. But yeah, I mean, they showed why they've won promotion this season. They're going into the top division, the Premier Rugby, next year, and they, that class did show, to be honest, because in the second half they really did take the game to Notts, and eventually came away with what was a pretty resounding win.
Among some of the interesting stats from the Varsity Series, of course, there's been a few over the course of the two-week period. One being that Stormzy's gig at Rock City sold out in less time than the Varsity Ice Hockey. Secondly, that
really?
There was only one women's team that didn't win a match for the University of Nottingham. But thirdly, one stat that came out at the end of that men's game, which is that 9 players from Nottingham Trent's side were awarded scholarships for the Nottingham rugby team after that match, which is fantastic for them. And just a testament, surely, to how good they are, Tom.
Yeah, there was I saw something on the men's rugby Twitter about this. There's sort of quite a fine line between when you're actually allowed to play in the Bucks League or not. And at the start of the game, they made quite a few changes. And as we can see, you know, I mean, you know, Notts got off to a great start with 10-0 up, and it was pretty tight at half time from what I can recall as well. And then it was in the second half when some of these in quotation marks dubious players came on, and there have been some issues raised, I think, from the men's rugby about this in the past, and quite a few scholarship lads that have come in to Trent. And I mean, you know, if Trent do that, if they bring in some really good players and they play them in the varsity, they have every right to do that, I suppose. But it does seem slightly unfair because, you know, a sport is meant to be to, you know, especially a uni like ours as well, it's sort of like an auxiliary part of the uni. It's not the main reason as to why, you know, a lot of us are here, the vast majority of us are here. So when you've got players like that who are coming on from the bench, then it really, it was always going to be hard for us to see out the win. And and it might not be the last we've seen of that, to be honest.
This is URN.
Now we're going to reverse back to Saturday's action, of course, down at Harvey Haddon, where the University of Nottingham fortunately lost 12-25 down in northwest Nottingham. Touchdowns from Morris and from Peter Adams as well in that game were not enough to come up against a very strong Trent side on their day, despite the fact that form certainly favoured the University of Nottingham after being unbeaten in 12 months. Now I'm just going to listen to a quick post-match interview from that encounter down at Harvey Haddon.
What did you make of that game? It looked like a very tough game from where, from the stands.
I thought it didn't actually start that well for us, you know. I thought at the end, towards the end, we picked it up really, really well. We all gave it all on the pitch. We left it all on the pitch. And this is Air Horn as well.
Hey, Wagwan.
No, we left it all on the pitch, and we couldn't have asked for a better... I couldn't ask for a better group of people. We couldn't have asked for a better game, apart from winning. We all, like... There was nothing left on the pitch towards the end of that game, definitely.
It was a very good turn-up from both sets of fans today. Did the fans play a big part towards the end of that, where we almost came back?
Yeah, definitely. The fans are absolutely amazing. Like, it's so amazing to have such a big group of people on one of the most important games of the year. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better crowd, to be honest.
Yeah, I think knowing that there were, you know, however many people cheering us on that last drive really gave you something extra to fight for, being able to turn around seeing people cheering. We've got a banner out for our Hungarian playmaker saying that he's the Buddha best. I mean, this is the kind of support that you can only really, like, you know, you only get like once in a lifetime unless you're a professional athlete. So really appreciate everyone who turned out today.
Our first touchdown was really something amazing. That's such a long, almost 30-yard pass. What was it like watching that from the sidelines?
I mean, I think I just saw it in the air, turned around, just started sprinting around, fucking arms outstretched like Alan Shearer. So I didn't particularly see it, but Sammy D.
Oh, it's just amazing. You know, that's what our scholars can do. We balled out on offense, defense, special teams. Shame we couldn't get the win, but, you know, next year we'll come back strong. We're playing these guys, what, twice, maybe three times next year. So come back strong. Trent, better look out, because we're going to come back. We'll come back big, OK?
Thank you, boys, for joining us. We'll head back to the guys in the studio.
Cheers, appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yes, you heard there's some post-match reaction from that game down at Harvey Haddon on Saturday. An unfortunate 12-25 defeat for the Green and Gold, which left the series poised at 11-8 going into the final matches on Sunday in Rugby Union. Chris, you were down there at Harvey Haddon on Saturday evening. What did you make of the contest between the Nottingham Trent and the Green and Gold?
It really was absolutely bizarre, just because of how different the teams were going into the day. So you've got Trent, who have not won in 13 months. You've got UON, who have not conceded any defensive points in 7 straight games this season. But yet, after the game, you wouldn't think who's who. You would actually think it's Trent that has been on this amazing run, and that it's been UON that's had this really bad season, just because it wasn't just a case of Trent being better than us, but they were much, much better than us. And to be fair, I can't really argue against it. They were brilliant from the start. You know, they looked so much better than us defensively, offensively. When it got a bit shaky in the fourth quarter, Trent defended really well and then made their chances count a lot better than UON were able to do. We got some really good throws out of Sam Wright, our quarterback, but Callum Doherty for Trent was superb, marshalling his troops all across the field. But no, it was a complete brilliant performance from Trent, it's got to be said, and you wouldn't think it, but yeah, depending on the start of the day, but it really was Trent that looked a lot more like that brilliant team that we expected of UON.
Such a peculiarity, of course, going into the game, Chris, as you mentioned, the fact that the University of Nottingham won 8 out of 8 games in the league this season, only defeated in a semi-final playoff to Leeds Beckett, 28-27 in that match. Not conceded a touchdown all season before that playoff game.
No, exactly, yeah.
As well. Conversely, Trent lost all of their games in the division above the University of Nottingham, but nonetheless, on the day, as they say, form in the league goes out the window when it comes to varsity. And it was a perfect example of that down at Harvey Haddon.
No, exactly. It really was. I think if you were to speak to any of the UON guys, like in particular someone like Peter Adams, they just must be questioning themselves, just being like, how did we lose that? On form, on paper, on everything, they were expected to trounce Trent effectively, but yet suddenly going to half time it's Trent 12, UON 6. We did manage to get a touchdown just before the half, courtesy of a really good touchdown, but apart from that, you know, it really was Trent's day. You know, they were absolutely brilliant defensively and offensively, like said, you know, in the fourth quarter they managed to, you know, do the football equivalent of showing shot really effectively, you know, so they forced UON in their own half and they just weren't able to get out of it. It was ruthless from Trent, really, to be honest. But no, you're right, it's completely, as they say, the league form just went completely out the window, and from the first whistle they only looked like one team going to win it, to be honest.
And arguably, Chris, of course, some factors from the University of Nottingham side, some mistakes in fact, probably contributed to that victory for Nottingham Trent, Jeremy. I mean, the likes of Sam Wright, the quarterback, of course, gave the ball away for the last touchdown for Nottingham Trent. Do you think that had much of a factor upon the opposition winning, or do you think that Nottingham Trent were just too strong for us?
I think that had a massive psychological factor on the green and gold losing that game, because we'd got one of the touchdowns before then, and it looked like the green and gold were starting to fight their way back into the game, but when that misplaced pass just went wide, a Trent winger caught it, went right the way down, got the touchdown, easy as you like really for him, then it was just at that point you just saw, right, everyone was just thinking, right, that's game over, there's pretty much no way now we're going to be able to fight back. Trent's been doing very well, and I think also other mistakes, particularly the tactical choices that the green and gold made. I think the main one was the third quarter. You know, the first two quarters have been quite open, quite free flowing, but the third quarter when the green and gold switched to focusing on running play instead of passing it, then it just seemed to be running into a brick wall basically, because Trent looked like they'd actually purposely set up for that and were just countering it perfectly. They weren't attacking, and it was then basically two teams bashing their heads against a brick wall trying to get through. And it, the third quarter was, from quite a lot of people speaking about it, when they were saying it's not something that you particularly associate too much with American football, but it was pretty dull and pretty boring, to be honest, that third quarter. Fourth one livened up a bit more. We then got 3 touchdowns overall, 1 for us, 2 for Trent. But yeah, it's a shame. Just on quickly what Chris was saying about the kind of difference in form, it just sort of something which Nick said last Wednesday when we were talking about the basketball. It's interesting because there's a division difference, and whilst we had the winning mentality and the winning momentum as compared to Trent's god-awful season that they've had, Trent were still a division above us. They do still have that quality, and if they'd got themselves motivated right, which I think they must have done for this varsity game, and we might have taken it a bit easy, I suspect, potentially, or gone into it with a slightly different approach, maybe, then I think that would have been probably the critical thing. So I think, really, the American footballers are going to probably be wanting to have a good hard look at themselves in the mirror.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, really, the end of their season, of course, this varsity defeat, coupled with the defeat in the semi-final and the playoffs to Leeds Beckett as well. Tom, do you think that their unbeaten season and the fact that it was such a convincing victory, 19-7, of course, down at Lady Bay in last year's varsity, arguably the catalyst for the brilliant season that UONAF have had this year, do you think that there was that element of overconfidence, this kind of over-expectancy that they were going to win?
Yeah, I think it's always, you know, it's always quite tempting to label complacency as an issue. I mean, I'm, you know, sort of know one of the lads on the team, and from what, you know, from what he was saying, you know, the build up to the game was absolutely huge for them, and they did prepare well. And obviously, it's always hard to do that when your season's broken up by Easter and everything. Then you have to come back and get back into the swing of things again. But I think the team, you know, really did try and compete. But I mean, I don't know a huge amount about American football, but from what I saw, you know, every time we presented Trent, you know, with a chance, they took it and they executed it brilliantly. And they did have a lot of class out on the field as well. So maybe it was just, you know, maybe the season was just a bit too long for them, and you know, they'd had a brilliant season, and there are probably some, you know, some tired legs out there, and it just contributed to what was a bit of a shame, really, a slightly disappointing loss. Overall, they should, I think, still be really proud of the season that they've had.
This is URN Sport.